Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from chimpanzee A all the way down to chimpanzee Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week joining me in the Monkey House is comedians and returning guests, Cass Page and Zoe Bellotta from Sanspans Radio.
Hello!
Thank you for having us.
It's so nice to be here.
We're happy to be back.
It's so good to have you back. It's been a while. You haven't been here since we've brought it back.
I know.
The Monkey House is open again for business.
I'm ready for some monkey do and monkey don'ts.
Yeah. There's a lot of don'ts, a couple of do's. We'll see how we go. A few nopes.
Oh!
Sizzle for what we're talking about later. I'm trying to think of the last time. Cass, I reckon, would have been an Umbrella Academy episode.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
We're on last.
Yeah, love an Umbrella Academy.
Yours was another weird movie, wasn't it?
We did David Lynch short.
Yes, that's right.
Where he's just interviewing that little monkey. Now, nothing makes me happier than a chimpanzee smoking a cigarette, so...
And you tweeted, because you'd already seen this.
Yes.
And you tweeted saying, oh... What did you say? Something like...
I was like, I loved watching... Oh, no. I'll read it. I'll read it verbatim because, God, it was a good tweet. It did not get the love it deserved and I was so upset.
Well, you're talking about a very niche podcast.
I'm talking about a very niche podcast. Just being like, my friend did this.
But yeah, it was... Yeah, when you said that and a few listeners have also suggested it, I'm like... Good idea.
Yeah, so I tweeted out, I like to imagine Matt Stewart watching Nope and realizing, fuck, I got to bring back the monkey podcast.
And I mean, that's not too far off the truth, really. So I'm so glad you watched it and you could be here for it. Cass, you watched it more recently?
I watched it last night. Got very excited to have an excuse to see it at the cinema. I'd been planning to anyway. Was very surprised. The cinema. Very surprised. I didn't really know much about it. I just heard that it...
That's the best way to go into a Jordan Peele film, I think.
You can't know too much. But then when you were like, do you want to watch Nope and come on Primates? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was that kind of a film.
There was you had a great opportunity to say no. but you didn't, and I appreciate that. Yeah, because I had seen and loved Get Out years ago. Mm. I haven't seen Us.
Us is my personal favorite.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's good news.
I was actually saying to Cass off air that I don't know if Us is my favorite of the three because it is this, like, in like a superior film. Or do I just really love Lupita Nyong'o? Like,
okay.
It's tricky.
That's a hard line. Yeah. I don't know. Like, she's just great, and I just love her, so...
So, that's I should be watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I was meaning to watch it before today as well, but didn't get around to it. I also went to the cinemas to watch Nope, especially for this, and I love it, because I saw it at midday.
Oh, the best time to see a film.
Civilized.
There was two other people in the whole cinema with me. It was fucking sick. Love it. I love going to the movies by myself. And it's not sad. And I don't care what you're saying at home, yelling at your iPods, because I don't care, because I'm cool.
No, I like iPod. Going to the movies. I like going to the movies by myself. I hate, I mean this with so much love, but I hate going to the movies with the Sans Pants team.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
They are
each and every one of them.
Especially one of them. Person.
No, it's just, it's so much talking. I get that.
they talk so much and they talk through the movie and they're not there to see the movie. They're just there to have some lols with their friends. Right. And I've got no time for it.
You got to sit on the other end.
I sit in a different row. I sit in a different row and I sit on the other end of the cinema with them.
Yeah, I'd probably be bad to go to movies with as well. I talk through them if there's someone there to talk at.
Really? I can't talk in the cinema. I think that's rude.
Not so much. The cinema, that's fair.
No, at a movie we're at our house, that's fair game. We're watching it on TV, that's fair game. I've paid $25 to watch a movie. I'm getting the movie's worth.
I'm too aware of everyone else in the cinema as well.
I'm eating my popcorn. My chips.
Yeah, like, every crunch. I'm like,
oh. I had Maltesers at the Nope, and I was like, and I'm like, oh, fuck, no. And I'm like, I know it would be so much better if I just opened them all at once, but that, it feels like a crime.
You're spreading the pain out. So this has been suggested by a few people, including Nathan Bauer from the UK, Kerry John Jones from Swansea, and I think it's spelt Sari, and I know that they sent me a...
Sherry?
Oh, it could be Sherry. They definitely sent me a proper pronunciation at some point, and...
It's good that you memorised it. Read it and memorised it. We're like, that's in the vaults.
C-E-R-I. It's a Welsh name, I reckon, from Swansea. I feel like it might be Kerry. I'm so sorry for mucking it up again. Also, Tom Cameron from Brighton in the UK. Geez,
a lot of first names there.
Yeah.
UKians as well. Drew Forsberg from Highland Heights in Ohio in the United States. Ohio, God's country. Beautiful part of the world.
So many plains.
Open wide valleys. Open. I can only
imagine.
That's why there's so many O's. Porn.
Corn.
Oh, it's so much
corn. Corn. They got the lot.
I was like, they make porn there?
Yeah, it's big on porn and corn.
Tires. I think there's a big tire industry. Tire fires probably as well. Also, Aaron from Homestead in Florida, the United States. That's Aaron. It's another name I'm probably mucking up. A-E-R-I-N. And finally, Alistair Stevens from the UK.
Lots of people from the UK today.
Yeah.
They got the movie before us, though. That's why. They've all seen it. And we got it like a week ago.
Why?
Australia's stupid.
That's so weird.
They had to send the movie, actual film.
It just takes a while to get
via
here.
Via boat.
Wait, really?
No, fucking Kaz.
But that would be the only thing that I can think of that makes sense.
No, I think there's some weird rule with like release with cinema rules. It's all stupid.
But
it's all stupid as to
why
distribution.
But then they lose a week of money.
Yeah, they don't realize that we can just watch it online.
Cinema love money. That's the thing.
Cinema love money. And then they complain that they have no money when they do stupid things.
Guys, why are you watching the movie?
There must be a reason. There's got to be a reason.
I think there's a distribution rights issue. And I think there was... I know that for a lot of films, they're like, oh, in America, that it will be like Labor Day weekend or whatever. And they're like, we'll release it now. And then like the weekend after will be like our big weekend. So they're like, we'll just hold off a week or two.
Yeah, right.
Because you want the opening weekend to be
huge. But we just as people are like, we want it now.
Yeah. And why would anyone care what it does in Australia?
No, yeah. Who gives a shit what we think?
And I know in the past, at least, they used to like sort of use Australia as a testing market.
That's so funny. We should get movies first.
Yeah. At least with music, I'm sure that was a thing. So, you'd understand that, you know. It's a small, kind of a small American-ish country. You can test it out here.
But you know what? Maybe you're onto something with the opening things, because I often see movies talk about how much money they made in their opening weekend. But if you can count your opening weekend as every single opening weekend around the world and it was all on different weeks and if you planned it, just let me enjoy the movie. I don't care about the money you're making.
Well, I waited for too long and it came out online and I watched it at home.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're risking somehow, people.
I don't know how it got there. Anyway, I watched it at home.
What are you talking about? On the dark web?
Yeah, I hired a hitman and I watched Nope.
Holy shit, Zoe.
All on the one website.
Well, I'm bad girl. What can I say?
Jeff Bezos is quaking.
Yeah, I know. We're taking him for all he's worth. The billions and billions he's worth.
So when people suggest the topic, they also can give me a little spiel of why they think it would make a good episode. And this is what Aaron from... It's probably just Aaron.
Yeah.
It's guessing an R. Anyway, I'm getting bogged down. I'm so sorry. But Aaron writes, this is why they think it would make a good episode. Mm-hmm. Big time primate subplot, and it closely ties in with key points that the great Erica Fleury had made on previous episodes, plus spooky fun.
Ooh. Ooh. Is Erica a primate expert?
She's a primatologist from America, from NAPSA, the North Ooh. American Primate Sanctuary Alliance, who's semi-regular guest. I've got to get her back on now that we're back.
I'd love to know how her thoughts
tie. So do you want us to leave so you can call her?
Yeah. But she's talked a lot about in the past about, so their sanctuaries home a lot of ex-entertainment primates.
Wait, are you saying the entertainment industry that exploits animals, these animals need a sanctuary after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But some cool things we learned from Erica over the times we've chatted is that I think it's probably already happened now that there's no apes in movies in Hollywood anymore. And the last Good. One was only a few years ago. But there is scenes in this that would, one of the more extreme reasons why it's bad, apart from the fact that it's just
really, you know, it's mean.
It's mean.
It's mean to the monk.
Apes don't belong in a studio. Anyway, let's go to, I found this great website, wikipedia.org, and it has a bit of a plot synopsis.
Yeah, I'll have to remember that one, yeah.
And
it's just for the movie Nope?
I assume so. This is the only page I've looked at. Mm. I love that the production company is Monkey Paw Productions.
I did see that at the start when the credits were rolling because of the cinema.
So Jordan Peele, that's always been his production company. So, I mean, obviously there's a chimp, not a monkey in this film, but still, there's a relationship there. You know what I mean? This film, a lot of great actors in it, including, is it Daniel Kaluuya?
Yeah.
Who was in Get Out.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see him back. And so let's get into it. So it says, and I should come clean here. I missed the start of the film. It was on at midday, you know. We're not all early risers.
No, you're not a bird.
I had to roll out of bed, rush to the cinema, put on my best cinema clothing.
That's right. And I got in as the credits were rolling thinking, oh my God, I've just made it. But there was obviously a pre-credit scene. So it says that a Bible verse opens the film, which is Nahum 3:6. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. Do you recall that bit?
Yes. Yeah.
Did the whole cinema hush?
Ooh, oh, yeah. Jesus.
Because we were all polite.
And opening your Maltesers. It says the film is divided into 5 chapters: Ghost, Clover, Gordy, Lucky, and Jean Jacket. Does it say that right up the top?
It opens with Ghost.
Okay.
And you're like, I can guess what's going to happen later.
I've seen other movies,
yeah,
so I can understand how this is going to play out.
I would have liked just some
an maybe, index.
Maybe if we could have got the director to come out and say, hey, I'm Jordan Peele, I've made this film. So you're going to see throughout the film, there's going to be like just a blank screen with one name on it.
Yeah.
They're the chapters of the film. So look out for those. You don't have to think too much about them, but they will be there. And that's it's a device I'm using. You know what I mean?
I just think a little bit of explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is I would have missed that. I arrived late. But still, I think that would just be a nice touch. Maybe if all directors did that.
Shoot him a message.
You can't actually guarantee that didn't happen in the movie.
That's a good point. Did that happen in the movie?
We'll never tell.
Secrets.
So in 1998, in front of a large studio audience for the sitcom Gordy's Home, the titular chimpanzee animal actor attacks several of its human co-stars after being startled by the pop of a balloon. Child actor Ricky Jupe Park hides under a table and is unharmed, though traumatized by the experience. The chimp finds Jupe and extends his hand for a fist bump before being shot dead by authorities. So, yeah, I missed that. I went to this Wikipedia page in the cinema. I'm like, if I missed, just double checking if I've missed anything, I'm like, oh, fuck, I missed. I missed maybe the chimpiest moment.
Fucking monkey scene in this movie. Yeah.
I don't think all of that happens. I think.
Yeah, that's, yes.
All that happens later, but I thought in the opening it was just watching Gordy tromp around covered in blood. and you're like, what's that monkey doing? And then
that's interesting because that did all happen later. I'm like, wait, so they're showing it again from a different angle?
It was just you just saw the shot of this monkey from underneath a table from this kid's perspective.
I hope you're not telling me I can't trust this website I've just found, wikipedia.org.
Maybe just shoot them an email, I reckon. Just be like, hey, I don't know if this is everything. Shoot them an email. That's how it opens. It's just a little, all you see is like
the monkey kind of peer through.
Yeah, like so skulking
there's
going to
be listeners here, possibly Erica Fleury herself going, it's not a monkey, it's an ape.
It's an ape. And the ape is looking through, to be factual.
Very important on this show.
Very important.
I'm an amateur primatologist. I'll never get my full accreditation if I associate with people calling apes monkeys.
Fair enough. They're apes, guys. I'm so sorry. I want to apologize.
Okay, we've got that on the record.
Yeah, I want to apologize. And I think we did the same thing last time.
It happens every week. Every week.
I'm like, and the monkey.
It took me 3 or 4 turns to learn it. And I'm too scared to say the word monkey.
Next time we're going to come in, it's just going to like have a big sign that says monkey crossed out and it's just ape underneath. Yeah. And like, right.
Don't make me tap the sign.
It's going to be a capuchin. We're going to be like, you know this ape and you will weep.
So that's great to know. So it just starts with Gordy is covered in blood. Something's happened, but you don't know what it was.
Gordy is watching. Yeah. So yes.
Gordy's the ape.
I'm thinking of the child.
Whose name is Jupe.
Gordy's covered in blood, walking around tapping things. You don't see any attacking. You're just seeing an ape covered in blood. He takes off his hat and then like looks toward the camera and you see the little kid under a table looking very scared. Yeah. And then you're like, what's happening here? And then more weird stuff happens because then you get like Granddad and the coins, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately.
Okay, well, that's...
You get thrown to the deep end in this film.
So Wikipedia might be on the right path now because it says, in present day Agua Dulce?
Yeah.
You're saying yeah because that's right or just because you want me to move on?
It's because I hate the word nope.
It was hell for me.
Agua Dulce, yeah.
In present-day Agua Dulce, which looks like it's part of Los Angeles, La La Land.
Oh.
I guess that makes sense. This is filmmaking territory, Tinseltown.
Yeah. This film loves film.
This film loves film.
This is a film that loves film. It's putting up a mirror to itself. A film. Yeah. And it likes what it sees. So, in present-day Agua Dulce, ranch owner Otis Haywood Sr., trains and handles horses for film and television productions. When he is killed by a nickel through the eye that falls inexplicably from the sky, his children Otis O.J. Haywood Jr. and Emerald M. Haywood inherit the ranch. O.J. tries to keep the business afloat and maintain his father's legacy, while M. seeks fame and fortune in Hollywood. The Haywoods claim that the unnamed jockey in plate 626... from the Animal Locomotion series of photographs was their ancestor. It's like they say it's the first ever
movie. Yeah.
It's like a short, and Wikipedia even has it here.
Ah.
A jockey galloping on a film, on a filly.
On a film.
I almost saved that. Phil. I was going to say film, but filly? Look, I don't know. I don't know what kind of horse it was. Okay.
You're a primatologist.
You got me.
Yeah.
I'm not a... What are horses?
A horsetologist.
Yeah.
Equestrian.
I'm not a questrotologist. Yeah. Okay? And I know a lot of people want me to be, but I've only got so much time.
Anyway, guys, welcome to my new show, Horsemates.
Horsing around.
Do you think we should?
Oh, yeah. Okay. First episode is going to be about Nope. This great film I've just seen about horses.
It's a crossover episode.
Well, that's what Cass and I were saying, because Sean spends our logo as a horse, and we were like, what a fantastic... little crossover moment for us.
Yeah.
Like the Sans Pants logo's a horse?
No, at the shut up a second.
Yeah, I misspoke. Yeah. Okay. The shut up a second logo's a horse.
But the unofficial Sans Pants logo's a horse. All of the artwork in the studio is of horses.
We love horses.
I think we've got 3 artworks of horses and then our boss customized our new cupboards, like the work pantry where all the oven, like microwave and stuff is. So that the knobs are horses.
Oh.
We love horses.
Really good horse stuff.
Yeah, if you knob a horse, that's bad, isn't it?
What's knobbing a horse?
It's illegal.
Knobble a horse.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? What does that mean?
Are we talking about sucking a stick?
Sucking a stick?
Just any old stick.
Yeah, just any old stick. It's illegal.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Is that what nobbing a horse means?
I don't know. It just feels like that's a thing.
You're going to find some horse porn.
Horse
Matt's
nobbling.
Matt's going to find some horse porn.
I made
Matt's
that up.
Google horse porn.
Horse porn.
Horse porn.
Horse porn.
Horse porn.
Okay, horse nobbling. Okay. I'm so glad that it at least is a thing. What is nobbling a horse?
Can we guess?
Yes.
Taking it on its knees.
It's to...
No, that's hobbling a horse. What about nobbling a horse should be taking off its tail?
No, it's to incapacitate a racehorse, especially by drugging. So it's sort of like cheating by taking it. I think Farlap might have been nobbled. Australia's
famous horse.
That's
why his heart was so big and his skin fell off so easily.
There's a lot, like most listeners are big primates fans. They might not know about Australia's famous racehorse Farlap from the olden days. Is now his skin is in one museum, his heart is in another museum, and his bones
are
in
another museum.
Yeah, and yet really another museum.
Fucked up that horse.
Yeah, but it's because of the drugs.
It's because of the drugs.
The skin just fell off. It wasn't that they had to extract the bones. It did it all himself. Your logo is pants on a microphone. I knew I wasn't losing my mind.
Yeah. We're thinking of other logos, our unofficial logo.
Because I never know how much to explain. Some listeners might not know Sans Pants Radio. It's a podcasting network in Melbourne here.
Yeah.
One of the great podcasting networks. I'd probably say second only to the Do Go On Media podcast network.
Understandable. And we also would take second.
Yeah, that
we
would
also be
like,
it's probably
you?
The second.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I think I always describe, I'm like, oh, we're like Melbourne's second best podcasting group. And everyone's like, who's the first? And I'm like, Do Go On. Fucking little bastards.
Fucking hell, man. Bloody hell, really you come good. On this podcast, made me feel all good about myself.
That's what we do.
I feel
we're
borderline uncomfortable. Anyway, so yeah, we've had two full-on things happen, and I've missed them both. The first one was a blood-covered chimpanzee, and the second one was a ranch owner who was killed with a falling nickel from the sky.
Yeah, he looked up.
What's a nickel? That's a 20-cent piece?
No, penny.
Penny?
No, 10 cents? 10 cents.
Doing a nickel.
Penny, nickel.
No, a quarter's to quarter.
25, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so like five. No, 1, 10, a 25.
Nickel. It's a 5-cent coin.
Five? They have five?
Because that's what they say when you go to prison, you do a nickel. That's a 5-year stretch.
You know so much.
I don't, but thank you.
Because you know so they have
they've got quarters.
I do know so
over
much
there.
About prison.
Yeah, quarters is
but
25.
They don't have 20. I guess they don't have 20s.
No, they don't have 20. So they've got penny,
fives.
Which is one.
Yeah.
I thought they had a 10.
Oh, a dime? What's a dime?
Dime.
They also got ones.
Yeah, so penny, dime, quarter.
Nickel.
Nickel? What's nickel again?
No, nickel was five. So it goes
nickel's
quarters.
Five.
Why are there so many coins?
Penny, nickel, dime, quarter, dollar? Do they have a 50 cent?
So they got a 1 cent?
Yeah.
5 cent?
Mm.
10 cent?
Mm.
25 cent?
Mm.
50 cent?
What's a 50 cent
what
called?
Are they called?
The halvesies.
And then a dollar. What's it? It says...
Why does 50 cents not have a name? Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis. He in the club.
So you got nickel is the 5. Penny is 1. Nickel's 5. Dime is 10. Quarter is 25. Or half dollar is a 50.
No.
Fuck a half
no,
dollar.
That's
maybe they're not around
tiny.
Anymore. Yeah, it mustn't be around anymore. Maybe.
Oh, a half dollar. Got a little
oh,
half dollar.
Oh,
no,
you got a half dollar for me.
That's good. That's like holding a $50 note and be like, half hundy. That's great.
Well, yeah, because Australia used to have $2 notes way back in the 80s or 90s and $1 notes.
Oh.
Because they still have, they have dollar bills over there.
Yeah.
I love cultural differences.
So different.
What are we talking about? The movie Nope. I wonder how many people have turned off already as we struggle to stay on topic. So, yeah, I haven't seen any of it so far. But what? How full on was the nickel through the eye bit?
I thought it was cool because it was a bit eerie. You just, like, hear, like, gunshotty noises all over the ranch and you're sort of like, what's happening? And then eventually you start seeing like keys and just metal shit everywhere.
Also lots of things fall.
So you kind of, watching the characters look up, trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm.
So that's why it falls through his eye rather than through his head, because they're all just kind of staring up at the sky.
Oh, and including the kids?
Yeah, including the OJ.
Right.
Yeah, so the son was there and they're all kind of looking up, the two of them, to see what is happening. And yes, just random stuff starts falling. And then there's like nothing in, you know, fucking finger quotes up in the sky.
Right. Were you loving it? Was that like were you going, I'm in here?
That was good because you could just hear.
I was in from the monkey, man.
Oh, my God.
Ape.
Every time you call an ape a chimp,
this podcast goes for another 5 minutes.
you donate a nickel to NAPSA.
Yeah. All right. All right. Done. This is like,
that's American 5 cents. That's like 8 cents or something.
I'll just give a $10 note at the end of this.
pay it full.
Yeah, I'll just know. I know.
So now we get up to the bit where I join the film.
Yeah.
So it feels like I really I missed a small amount, but it was some key stuff.
It was a really good opening. I'm going to say that much.
That's great. I'm a fool. The last time that happened to me was when the first new Star Wars came out, like 5 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got there, I missed the scroll and everything. And I'm like, I mean, it didn't really worry me, but it did feel like I was missing something the whole way. I felt like I never fully got it.
Yeah, well, they probably explained quite a lot. I haven't seen the Star Wars
And you don't
movies.
Get to play the trailer game when you go to the movies.
Oh.
There's a game?
Yeah, you got to guess the trailer before your friends guess the trailer, and then I get to punch you.
No matter what.
No matter what. I win. It's a game I've invented for myself.
And it's so even if you're there watching it with someone else, Zoe will rock up and punch
rock
you
up
in the
and
face.
Rock you.
Whether you get it right or wrong. So what fun game
to
play.
Whether we know each other or not.
Well, and I would assume that a lot of people listening don't know you.
No, and so they'd be scared.
Yeah.
I'm a comment.
All right, so now I'm watching, okay? So I can start commenting.
All right, we've started Matt time, yep.
6 months later, while filming a commercial with prominent cinematographer Antlers Hoist, or is it Holst, one of the horses, Lucky, reacts aggressively when the crew startles it. And the Haywards are fired from the project. This bit was so frustrating right off the bat for me. I'm like, I know this is what he's wanting me to feel, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
But you're just going, oh, so everyone's treating him badly.
Oh, the whole thing was yuck. I really like, it's Daniel, yes?
Mm.
Daniel's a great job. He's got such a good face for, I don't know.
Emotion?
Just holding in bad feelings. Yeah. And you can see that he's holding something in. And you're like, Daniel.
Yeah, you're right. It's so expressive without. It almost looks like he's giving no expression, but it's saying a lot.
Oh, it was so stressful. Like, and just the way you want everyone to listen to him. And you're like, if you don't listen to him, it'll go badly. He's the expert.
Yeah.
Please. Oh, my God.
And they just weren't listening to him. He says, going to need a little break. And then the actress comes out. I'm ready for one. And they're like, all right, we'll set up for one. It's like, what, the horse guy says they need a break.
He's the boss of the horse. Well, the horse is the boss of him.
Yeah. And then his sister comes up late and she's just treating him like shit as well. She does the safety spiel. She has it down and then sort of plugs herself a bit and then goes off to sort of network at catering. And he's standing there going, need your help back here. Em, need your help.
Because they seemed like they actually quite yinged and yanged quite well, because she was so outgoing and he was so quiet. You were like, but he knew what was going on when she didn't. You're like, if she just could be the mouthpiece, then stuff would get done. But because she's so self-involved, we're fucked.
Yeah, her heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
They'd be the perfect team if she cared about the business.
Yeah.
But she clearly didn't. And she says that
explicitly
later.
Yeah.
She said, this is... He says, you got to forget about your side hustle and focus on the business. She's like, this is my side hustle.
Yeah.
He's calling. She's going, please, Em, come help. She doesn't. And then the guy puts a flash basically in the horse's face and he kicks out.
I have to admit, I don't work on films.
Okay.
Television.
Well, I don't know. Why are you here?
No, that's a good point.
Cass is here because she works on films.
And television. Yeah.
And horse
cinema.
Films in particular. Yeah. And
very
also
specifically horse films.
I'm even going to admit, I don't know that much about horses.
Oh.
I know putting something big flashy in front of a horse is probably not a smart idea.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching that and just being like, that is the opposite of common sense.
Just at least ask.
Be wary of the horse.
He's right there.
Yeah, that was...
And it was
horrendous. I even felt so sorry for the horse.
Yeah, the horse.
But I will say, throughout this movie, I kept being like, oh, that horse is doing such a good job. I hope that horse got every carrot.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's good that horses can still be actors.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good for them.
Yeah, good on them.
I hope this horse wins an Oscar.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like, and Erica would say that it's great that we've phased out real life apes from film, but where are those jobs going? They're going to people like Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
Which is great for him, and I actually think
it is great for Andy.
Great for Andy. We love Andy.
Yeah, we all love Andy. Well done, Andy. Mm. We're all loving your new career.
But I'm just putting it out there.
Yes.
That, like, fucking maybe Andy was the one to start this
trouble.
Apes deserve rights idea. Because he needed more work.
And I call that trouble.
That trouble.
I call this movement for apes to have
rights and peace.
Trouble.
We need a
and a capital rubble.
Yes, it's all caps.
It's all caps. It's actually very serious.
Trouble. Trouble.
I fucking hate Andy Serkis, is all we're saying.
I think he does a great job. He's just saturated the market. Mm. We need a second ape man. He's not going to be there forever. I wish he could be.
Oh my God. Cass, why'd you say that? I think I've been operating thinking, well, at least we'll always have Andy.
Do you know what? They probably have enough 3D renderings of his body.
Oh,
that's comforting. They can do that forever. That's horrendous.
That's the afterlife for Andy. Yeah. He's living it now.
He's living his afterlife in the present.
Wow.
He's actually not acted in anything for about 10 years.
That's something that you don't know about Andy. Not a lot of people know about. Cass, of course, working in film.
Yeah.
She'll tell you all about that.
Horse film primarily, ape film secondarily. Yeah. Obviously not anymore. But, you know, in my youth.
Horse films primarily, ape films primatorily. Yeah, it was almost like there was something there. I have a lot of swings on this show and I don't edit.
And listeners, you get it raw, guys.
Yeah, okay. You get the swings, you get the misses. And the occasional hit. None yet, but maybe later. Cast on sound effects. So there's this low-key stressful scene where he's in on this ad shoot, but he ends up getting fired because the horse kicks because the crew don't respect the horse, basically.
Because the horse kicks.
Yeah. And I know that's how you're meant to feel, but there are, like, some of these sort of moves that are made to make you feel tense. I'm like, I know you want me to feel like this, but... why are you making me feel like this?
I avoid this emotion so much in my real life.
Yeah, I paid money for this.
The ranch's financial woes have forced OJ to sell horses to Jupe, who I don't know if we learned this yet, but he is the kid from Gordy's house.
We find that out when he goes and meets him. So probably, I think soon this is after where you this. Are.
He operates the nearby Jupiter's Claim, a small Western-themed park, where he exploits his story of the Gordy's Home massacre for profit. I mean, that's a wild way to put that. I guess that's also accurate.
Yeah, well, it's like a theme. It's like a Western theme park. Says that he charges people to come into his little shrine to his trauma.
Yeah, that is a bit.
And he's got like blood-covered items.
That is full on. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I didn't understand what was going on at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jupe offers to buy the ranch from the Haywoods, an offer which M encourages OJ to accept. She's like, let's cash in. She just wants to be an actor anyway.
She would love to cash in, yeah.
That night, the Haywoods notice their electricity fluctuating and their horses vanishing and violently reacting to an unknown presence. I mean, it's a bit vaguer than that. I don't think... one of the horses runs away, ghost, right?
Yeah. Ghost gets ghost.
And you know when there's something in the sky, I'm like, is that ghost flying?
Yeah.
Like it sort of flashed across the screen and it was, to me, it wasn't that clear. I'm like, I thought I saw ghost.
A Pegasus. Like,
is this a movie about flying horses? But unfortunately, it isn't. And it wasn't. Nope. You know, one thing that's great about this film, for fans of movies where they say the name of the movie in the movie, this has got to be almost the record holder for that. There's a lot of nopes.
There is a lot of nopes. As the nopes were coming, I was like, do you reckon they named it at the... like, do you reckon that was the name they went in for? Because John Peele is very intentional. Mm. Or do you reckon they had a different name and then at the end is like, well, you know what? That really captures it.
I saw an interview with Daniel Kaluuya. Is that how we've agreed to say it?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya. Where he was saying that they were like three quarters of the way through filming And he was like, oh, by the way, what's the film called?
Oh.
And Jordan Peele was like, nope. And then he was like, yes, yes, of course it's called that. That's fucking great.
Yeah, perfect. It's, yeah, it's, and so many great deliveries of the line as well.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. That's a no from me. So, yeah, so M's encouraging OJ to accept the offer. That night, weird stuff starts happening. Then they discover an unidentified flying object shaped like a flying saucer that has been devouring their horses, then spitting out inorganic matter, which caused their father's death. I guess they figured that out at around this time. I don't think I did.
I don't think they figured it out. I
didn't.
No, I think from memory, they're sort of like...
There is something. No, what I did remember when I was watching the film being like, they're very quick to be like, it's aliens.
Yes, that's true.
So that maybe was so it was that quick. Scene. They were so very quick to be like, they were like, something spooky's happening. My first thought wouldn't be aliens. A spooky ghost.
It was
well, because he saw the UFO in the sky.
Oh, he saw it.
And
I didn't see it.
And then M kept being like, what did you see? And he's like, doesn't really answer. Right. It's like, what did you see? And I think she's like, oh my God, you saw something in the sky. Yeah. This is aliens. We can finally make money.
That's so funny because I'm like, they're jumping. I thought they jumped to a conclusion as well, but that's because I didn't see the ship.
No, it was just a little flying saucer. It was a blip. And I think it was done really well because it was so quick that you as the viewer, all you see is the a mass moving. You can not really make out the shape properly.
Maybe you miss it. Maybe your eyes think it's a flying horse.
Maybe a horse. Yeah.
And I think that'd be valid.
I think that'd be very valid.
I don't think you should think you're silly if that's what you thought you saw.
Yeah, well, I think Jordan Peele did a great job of, you know, showing how weird it would be if you really saw a UFO because you would only see it for half a second. Then you'd be like, hang on, because he doesn't say what it is for ages, seemingly because it's like surely not.
Yeah, which is a normal human reaction.
Yeah,
to
very
like,
normal. But she's excitable, so
because I mean, at this point, nothing had fallen from it or anything, so I don't know why he would have gone. Oh, that's where the coin must have come from.
No, I it's further down. I remember the scene where the coins start falling again. And I laughed because I realized what was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, this is shitting on her. Yeah. Just shitting and pissing on the house. You said he's territorial and now he's mad.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. That scene with the blood covering the... I'm like, because it is sort of meant to be a slight horror film, but it's not really at all, is it?
I think it has really good elements of horror. Okay. Like, I think the tension is...
Yeah.
I think Jordan Peele's really, really good at tension. I don't think I've seen many movies that hold tension for me in the same way, obviously.
I don't think Jordan Peele does horror. I think you're right. He's like a thriller kind of tension. And yeah, we don't have a genre to define it. So we're like, oh, horror.
Yeah, it felt more... I was like, oh, maybe it's more like sci-fi thriller.
But then you think about it, like Get Out was... like not really supernaturally, like that was quite sci-fi as well because it's like a body swap movie. And even Us is still, it's like exceptionally creepy,
but
it's still like more,
No spoilers.
No, I was still going to say like very sci-fi-ish more than...
Why bother watching it now? I know it's very sci-fi-ish. Yes,
it's very sci-fi-ish, you know? Damn. So none of it actually dips into like the classics of the horror genre other than the fact that it is very tense to watch.
Right. And then,
I think we as alien, like we as audience.
We as aliens.
You slip there.
No, we're normal regular people doing a podcast.
Yeah, us
definitely
normals.
Definitely not invading your brains through your earwaves. It's fine.
No, we couldn't do that. We don't have the technology, right?
That's crazy.
Not yet. Okay, I'm feeling a little creeped out right now.
Anyway, I was gonna say, we as an audience, something, thought process gone.
Yeah, no,
but
I agree.
I didn't.
We as aliens.
I felt like that shot was so, it looked sick with the blood just covering.
It was cool.
I'm like, this is sort of like classic horror movie imagery, but I never felt horror or that full on.
No.
I felt comfortable the whole way through. I'm like watching some people.
I think it's too bright, the movie, to feel as a horror movie. We're like, it's quite yellow. And that's not the color we associate with horror.
Which is nice.
It's not
nice
the color we associate with horror, but I
love. Not enough yellow horror.
No, there isn't. That's why we were like, different movie. Sand, gross.
But I think, like, I know it's, they're like, oh, it's an alien, but that's a monster. That's a monster that's eating people. That can be horror.
Yeah.
Monster that eats people is horror.
Yeah, okay.
You can't, like, and it's a bunch of people in a house they can't leave. That's a horror trope.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess...
Scary animal noises, having animals react in a weird way, that's also a horror trope.
I'm being too... Horse. I'm being too narrow with my definition of horror. Yeah, it's probably... I'm no horror expert either.
Neither am I.
But I normally find... I think I'm saying that because I rarely like horror that much.
And you liked this?
And I thought I like this. I like Get Out more, I'd say. But I did like this. I like the Scream movies, which I know are meant to be kind of shitty horror movies, but I like the whodunit aspect of those.
You like a murder mystery?
You like a mystery.
I find the ones like the Mike Myers ones and that a bit boring because it's just like this unstoppable guy that's always going to get you.
Well, a slasher flick is always just like some dude anyway. Or I think there's like some really, like, especially when you start leaning in like to the supernatural elements of horror, that's where you start getting some really, really weird shit and you're like, oh, this is like unexpected and great. But I think if you just like mainstream horror is so, for lack of a better word, like I think it has to be all encompassing. So it's not actually like a good representation of the genre.
Right.
In the same way that like sometimes you'd say like Star Wars probably isn't the best representation of sci-fi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, knowing that some of our listeners would come for you.
Yeah, who would?
Mike Myers style.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that on air. On some kind of podcast. Well, then Zoe's
coming from you. Coming for you, sir.
I'm coming for you.
Punching you in the head in the cinema.
Thank you, Zoe.
You're welcome.
Lovely gesture.
I came for you. It was quite lovely.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope you're having a lovely day.
I took the best part of your life and it's mine now. So anyway.
So I think I liked there was some sort of they're solving it as it's going, which is sort of fun, which I guess is not in a lot of horror movies as well, probably.
Things are probably
they're trying
to
figure out what's going on. That's probably is that just movies?
Yeah, that might just be movies, guys.
That might be movies, Matt.
This is why Cass, you're here, because you work in film.
Yeah, because I'm with the horses. I was with the monkeys. Rest in peace. And chimps. Oh.
Another nickel.
God, I owe that monkey lady so much money.
Do what I do, just donate a 50 and then you've got carte blanche for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, well, where are we up to? So,
this Wikipedia page that you are referring to.
Yeah. It's
they're saying all of the movie at once.
Yeah, they're skipping bits and they're talking about stuff from the future. It's like, you don't know all of that yet.
No, we're all still being like, boo.
Yeah.
Why are they abducting horses? And how do they keep all the horses in the spaceship?
It's probably good for us to, it's good because, you know, people can go watch the movie if they want to see it all in order slowly.
But if you want idea.
I found, and maybe it's my own fault for missing the big bang at the start.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it was a pretty slow period, I felt, which was the tension build, I guess. But some of it, I'm just like, I'm in the cinema sort of like, you know, feeling...
Having a wriggle.
Having a wriggle. I'm feeling so aware of every inch of my, you know, sort of arms and legs. I'm like, starting to get comfortable because it is moving so slow.
Yeah, well, you didn't have the mystery of where are those coins from.
I fucked it up. Who's
that
right
monkey?
Off the bat.
Why is that monkey covered in so much blood?
You're going to have to put in another 50.
Oh, my God.
So motivated by a desire for wealth and fame, the siblings decide to document evidence of the UFO's existence. They talk about the goal is Oprah level.
Yeah,
we want it to be the footage so good that it's shown on Oprah. There's a lot of dodgy footage out there, but no one's got great footage. And then they recruit Fry's electronics employee Angel Torres to set up surveillance cameras.
Well, he recruits himself.
He's like, aliens, yes please.
That's right. They're like, we'll be able to set it up, and he's like, don't think you will.
Yeah, that guy had an insane introduction. He was just rude, and then eventually he's at their house. He's like, anyway, me and my girlfriend broke up.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys are my best friends
he
now.
He just needed some friends.
Great stuff.
Electrical interference from the UFO and a praying mantis on one of the cameras prevent them from getting clear footage, but Angel notices a nearby cloud that never moves. They deduce that it is the UFO's hiding place. That was great. Did you see it? So he shows this time-lapse footage from one of the cameras, and he says to OJ, tell me when you see it. And I'm looking at it going, I'm staring, looking for the UFO.
Yeah.
And then, but OJ sees, he's like, oh, that cloud hasn't moved. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I also saw.
I also did not see it.
I wasn't thinking about the praying mantis the whole time. You're so cute.
Jupe introduces a live show in Jupiter's claim and plans to use Lucky as bait to lure out the UFO. Yeah, is that... I thought that was sort of them showing that that's what he'd been doing.
Because that's why he'd been buying the horses.
He'd been buying the horses to feed him to the UFO. Yeah,
and it was so... That scene was great because he's just introducing this show and you're just in the audience being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because OJ earlier had been like, I want to buy all the horses back. I want to make sure and I buy all the horses back.
Sure, man. I don't really talk about that one day.
I feel like you could buy cheaper horses than Hollywood trained horses as well if you're just using them for food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
They're loose horses.
Well, he gets the horse to run first. That is usually the thing. He like opens the thing and then gets the horse to run down the gully toward where the monster is, and then the monster eats him. Like,
and he kind of, does he say it on mic to the crowd? Jupe says, I honestly think it's because of my relationship with the UFO that it hasn't tried to take over the world or something. Mm. So he's got this new show, which I assumed was not that new. Feels like he'd been doing it for a little while.
He's been practicing.
During the show, he introduces like his cast, the crew, but also a cast member who I'm like, oh, with that veil, she was his co-star from
the Monkey Show, Ape Show,
the Ape Show, and she'd obviously had some severe injuries, and I'm like, is that referencing that there's a famous story?
All right, I'm gonna jump in here because this is my favorite ape story. It shouldn't be because it's not good, but I really think it's very interesting. So we're gonna talk about Travis the Ape. So Travis became famous because in 2006, I want to say, he ripped a lady's face off. Travis was an entertainment ape. That's what had been like why his owners had him. And he had worked in commercials and stuff like that. He had been in the trouble with the law prior because someone went to go litter, but for some reason it like went into the car that Travis was in and he got hit in the face by a Coke can. And then Travis tried to attack the man who did that. So he was like a known aggressive ape. And then in 2006, 2007, something like that, his owner... called one of her friends over, who was like her assistant, friend/assistant kind of situation. And they were doing something and then, I can't remember what triggered the attack. I think they were trying to like get Travis to do something. Get in this crate or we got to do da 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 da. Anyway, Travis snaps and instead of attacking his owner, he attacks the assistant.
Oh.
Which is why this sucks, because if it was the owner, you'd be like, come up and
stop. Oh, I assumed it was the owner.
Yeah, no. So it's the owner's assistant, and he attacks her, and there is a 911 call that has like been released to the public, and you can hear the owner.
It's awful.
Which is, it's pretty horrific. And so he ripped her face and her hands off, like obviously defending herself, but she survived. So they did a bunch of reconstruction surgery, and she survived, and it was worldwide news. Worldwide news. I remember hearing this story like when I was in like I think my second or third year of high school,
right,
and being like, what the hell. This is pre-Harambe, we got to remember.
Yeah,
you know, PH pre-Harambe, and it was just like, what the hell is happening, like this is nuts. This is really shitty internet as well, so this like made like the news. And it was a big thing of who was going to get the first interview.
Oh, right.
It was a big thing. They're like, who's going to get the first interview with this lady who has been mauled and terribly disfigured by this ape? Guess who got the first interview?
Oprah.
Ah.
Right. So they're all direct references.
They're all direct references to the Travis case where he So they obviously the police shot and killed him. It's also like the monkey is dead, the ape is dead. That he was killed to save this lady's life, and she ended up having. They tried to transplant some hands, but they didn't take.
Jesus.
But they were able to do like a partial face transplant years down the line.
Mm.
But during the Oprah interview, she's there with like a full veil, and Oprah sits with her and is like in the way that only Oprah can. So very kind, so very understanding, while still doing an interview.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're like, this feels so very exploitative.
Yeah.
But she also is being so nice to this lady.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then Oprah's like, can we see? And the lady like takes her veil off and it you know, she's blind. She's got no facial features anymore. But they were able to do a facial transplant a couple years later and she looks much better now. So, oh, and she's living her life.
Oh, that's
good. Post chimp attack.
A happier ending to the story. What a, yes, what a sad story from every angle.
Yes, I definitely didn't talk about this at the Sandspan show that I recorded this week, and we made jokes about it the whole time. It was sad, and we've always thought it was sad.
Right. But yeah, so it's just like, yeah, I guess, you know, just another example of why apes are not...
They're not pets.
They're not pets or actors.
No.
They're just little guys.
I found watching this movie, like, so surreal, being like, why would you keep an ape as a pet? Anyway, so that was the reference for Travis the Monkey.
Yeah, so that, and that was clearly a... because that was a very specific veil.
And, yeah. And you'd know, like, even you who didn't know the story of Travis knew that image.
You're right.
Knew that image.
Yeah,
knew that
I think I only heard of the story people have suggested I do talk about it on the show before, and I've seen the suggestion. I looked into it, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I can...
Very upsetting. Yeah.
I
think
I can quite make like this apes, fun. And this feels
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I did. Yeah, I sort of... Yeah, the friend getting invited over is just an extra level of sadness. Yeah, because
she wasn't meant to be there. It's all gross. It's all fucking gross,
man. What was
the friend
getting invited over?
She was like an assistant. It was meant to be her day off, and then they called her to be like, can you come over and help with this thing? Mm. And then the lady who owned Travis was super... Obviously, anyone who owns a chimpanzee is a weird person. Like, let's just put that out there, you know? Like as a pet and as a like money making machine. But she got really like, she was like, this isn't my fault.
Oh.
And society was like, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, it is.
Like yeah, it is your
three
fault.
Parties.
Yeah.
You're the one.
You're the one responsible here. The monkey, like neither is Travis, neither is your friend. You are the person who decided to do this. And then she just randomly died in the middle of all of this.
Oh.
Oh.
So there's no one to blame.
Wow.
Now we blame the monkey. Dramatic.
Who's also dead.
Who's also dead. So there's no one good. Like, there's just a lady who's terribly disfigured. Oh. And you know, the whole situation's super weird. You could write this stuff. I mean, Jordan Peele tried. And he got close.
Yeah.
But he couldn't write that stuff. He had to rewrite it.
Yeah. Do you think the alien stuff is also...
Probably related.
Yeah.
And taken from some other real story.
Yeah. That's probably happened to someone.
Whoa.
Someone's probably been like, there's an alien. Oh, no, just a big monster.
So it does really just, there's only three paragraphs of this synopsis left. It really just goes bang through the rest.
And then the movie ends.
He introduces the show to the audience, says, my old co-star's here. Here's the workers up there. It's my partner. She's also on mic. They got the Madonna mics.
Yeah. we call it a Britney mic.
Yeah, we Britney call it Britney mic.
That's a generational thing.
What do they call them now?
A Dua Lipa mic.
Yeah, Dua mic. So yeah, they Britney mic. Yeah, that also makes Madonna mic's got the alliteration. So you know, I'm not saying one's better than the other, but you know,
just
have a think about it.
Just
maybe.
Something to consider.
Yeah,
putting it out there.
So yeah, the show is introduced. He's trying to get the horse out, but the horse doesn't go.
Mm.
I'm adding an extra flavor here. I'm not reading this from the wiki. I'll go back to the wiki now.
I'll take your flavor.
The UFO arrives, but devours Jupe and the entire audience. Just sucks them up. And then we see him inside. We sort of start seeing from the UFO's perspective. And then we see the people going up through the UFO's tubes.
Oh, yeah.
And you start to realize it's not a UFO with a little man inside. The UFO in itself is a living organism. That's the...
They're getting digested.
Yeah, yeah. You can see and you're seeing...
Which is a terrible way to die.
That's probably another horror kind of image.
Mm. Yeah.
Seeing people getting digested.
Yeah, it's like a bit body horror.
Bit Cronenberg.
Yeah.
OJ deduces from this that the UFO is not a spaceship, but a predatory territorial creature, and that it eats anything that looks directly at it. So he sort of does this by flashing back to the moment with the original horse at the ad shoot where it got angry when it saw a reflection of its eyes.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, and they show that image a few times to hammer it home that it's like, oh, it's the eyes. Yeah. And then he utilizes similar methods to those he used to break and train horses. He thinks, if I use these techniques, I can influence the creature's behavior to capture footage of it without being killed. He dubbed the creature Jean Jacket, which I think was one of their childhood horses, maybe.
Yeah, that was the one that was meant to be Em's, and then it got, like, bought for the Scorpion King, so she didn't get to have her horse, and she was really
I missed
sad.
That reference. Like the Mummy sequel.
They're literally rocking Scorpion King, like,
oh, that's so fun. I missed
it was,
that.
It was OJ's first job with his grandpa, but that was meant to be her horse, and she didn't get to train him because they went on this job, and she was just heartbroken.
Yeah, and they in the flashback... She's looking out the window and he does that. I'm looking at you. Now, I didn't quite catch what he meant by that.
I see you. I see you. Everyone else. So I think there was one of those. I think it was meant to illustrate that it was one of those families that as a woman, Em was kind of very discarded very quickly by like grandfather, father, brother. So that was like a very patriarchal line of what was happening.
Right.
And I think that was him just saying like, I see you. I see you. Got you.
That's funny because that I think is normally used more sinisterly. Like I'm watching you.
Yeah.
I've got my eyes on you. Don't think you can get away with this. I don't think I've ever seen it before where someone goes, hey, don't worry.
But
I see you.
Don't you think you've got that weird relationship with your siblings where you can be quite rude to them and it's quite loving?
Yeah. Like, that's probably true.
Where you, like,
I don't know how you know that about me and my siblings, but yeah, that is actually
true.
That
is very true. Like me and my brother are living together at the moment, which is like the first time it's happened in a really long time. And the amount of times I have, like, he or I have walked past a bedroom and the first thing that comes up is like a middle finger.
Right.
Like the first thing you're like, and you're like, that's our dynamic.
What's the second thing that comes up?
Just friendship.
Okay.
Pure friendship.
Or maybe one of the other fingers, but no. Friendship. Finger then friendship.
Finger and friendship. And I think that was kind of one of those moments where it was like, this is a thing that normally isn't very friendly, but because it's like been fucked around with for so long.
Yeah.
Like there's so much history with it that's what it means now.
Yeah. I sort of saw that scene of him being like, haha, eat shit. I get to hang out with granddad and do my job. You don't get your horse. But... at the same time for her, she was like, you were the only one who was actually acknowledging that I was still there.
Right.
Like everyone else was just straight up ignoring me. And at least he was like, eat shit.
Yeah.
So you thought that symbol was like sucked in kind of thing.
Oh, like not necessarily like he was like, hey, we're all good. But he was like, meh.
Yeah.
I see you in the house.
It wasn't
eat shit.
Yeah. And I've been,
I'm thinking Scorpion King money.
I think I was slow in a few things, but it wasn't until he did it again in the current day that I'm like, oh, so that was the reason for it.
Yeah. Well, they talked about it as well. Like she had said that she'd brought it up in therapy and that was a really positive moment for her. That
and
he said, was still looking at her.
You're seeing a therapist? She says, well, I'm fucking a therapist sometimes. And she sort of, I talked to her after or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, it was funny. If I knew.
Good line. So they dubbed the creature Jean Jacket. And then they try and hire Holst for assistance. This guy with this great voice. He's more voice than actor, isn't he?
I love how the characters in Jordan Peele's movies are just... Every now and then you'll get one that's just like on the edge of a caricature. Yeah. He's just like sitting in his film watching animals kill each other, being like, well, I'll get the impossible shot. And it's like, oh, yeah.
It was meant to be like a poor man's Werner Herzog, yes?
Right, could be.
That's what I interpreted it as.
But he was like, wasn't he? He was more like cowboy voice.
Oh, I thought it was just like one of those like very directorial kind of, like, I know Werner is like that German accent, but I just, like, the whole time I was like, this is a poor man's Werner Herzog, like, right. Very thick accent, that cinema, like, cinema.
I don't really know much about Werner, except that when he was on the set of The Mandalorian, he held the puppet when they weren't shooting, and I think that's adorable.
He once ate his shoe.
He once got shot while being interviewed and kept going with the interview.
Werner Herzog is a weird little dude doing his best, man. People think Voice of God is Morgan Freeman. I think it's Werner Herzog. He's very kind.
He's got a great name as well, Werner Herzog. Werner Herzog. Hard to beat that.
That is good.
So anyway, yeah, so they call this guy. He sort of sounds like that cowboy actor with the big mustache.
Sam Elliott.
Maybe.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah. So Holst initially refuses, but eventually reconsiders after hearing about the Jupiter's Claim incident. I think he's like, because a few people are calling saying, hey, come film this UFO. He's like, that's not, I don't believe that, I guess. And then he's like, oh, this might be true. And by the time he comes out there, you know, there's blood on the roof. And he goes, yeah, I reckon this might be. He said, your lawnmower's on the roof and there's blood everywhere. So I think you're onto something or something like that. To circumvent Jean Jacket's effects on electronics, so whenever Jean Jacket is flying through the sky, all the electronics go off. So Holst brings a hand-cranked IMAX film camera to capture footage. Do we know it's IMAX?
It says IMAX on the side. Okay. Well, actually, he starts off saying, I made this.
Yeah, he said
especially, and then later you see the IMAX logo on the side.
Oh, he might have Frankensteined it together out of bits,
I assumed
though.
He Frankensteined it together because he specifically said he made it.
Yeah.
But
and then IMAX came in and said, can we pay for a little bit of fucking product placement?
Yeah, just like, you can have the money to do it. And this camera has to say IMAX.
With Angel, the group work out a plan to bait out Jean Jacket and watch a field of scattered Chew Men props for electrical malfunctions to deduce its location in the sky. So they get all these, you know, those floppy men from car dealerships. They get so many of them.
Yeah, where are they?
Where was this process? We could have had a 15-minute section of them going to buy all these floppy men.
The thieving montage was good.
But they had to cut it.
No, they had the whole thing.
Why did they show it?
Just little bit.
Did you miss that part of the movie as well?
You were so uncomfy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, that's funny. They did a thieving montage?
Yeah, were they like stealing it from, like, they were stealing it from Jupe's little Western thing?
Yeah, like on the way in where they've got all the waving men. They didn't have that many waving men.
No, I know. That's why I'm like, this must have taken ages.
They might have had their own.
Yeah. Right. Like M turns, like.
For what reason?
M turns something off, or she gets something turned off, and then all the waving men fall and she's like, time to get them. And then Angel goes and steals car batteries from cars so that they can run all of them separately.
I might have watched a different cut of this film.
Maybe you did.
Film entirely.
You got the director's cut, and because Jordan Peele, you missed him at the start explaining what was going to happen.
Right.
You just missed out on some context.
That's so funny. I was only joking that they needed to show all that, but I'm glad they showed a little bit of it. They didn't need 15 minutes of it, but a minute or so is
30 seconds.
That's probably all you need.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like me, I would have been like, where the fuck did all these things come from?
This came out of the ground.
What was I doing at that moment? Don't know.
Gotta bring back the fucking monkey podcast.
So then all the tube men are out there. They can figure out where it is, but all of a sudden, someone comes in on an electric motorbike. And we don't know who they are, but they look like a member of Daft Punk. Mm. They've got like a silver helmet.
Yeah, they looked too weird and shiny.
Yeah.
It was so unsettling. And again, I know they might, and that's what the movie's trying to do, so well done, movie.
And then they...
Congrats, movie.
They quickly figure out that he's a TMZ reporter, or they're a TMZ reporter.
Yeah.
Even though, and Wikipedia takes that in. Like, do we know that they were TMZ?
He's called TMZ reporter in the credits.
Credits, right.
So, and I think that's kind of what had happened, is why they were, like, upset that he was going through rather than around, because they were like, if this guy gets the footage, then we're fucked.
Because what, like, why? Oh, he was there for the UFO, right.
So he was there for the disaster, and then he was like, he came to interview them to be like, hey, what are your thoughts? And then it clicked that he's a reporter, and they've got all of this stuff going on, and they're like, an actual reporter is here, where we're trying to amateur our way through this.
Yeah.
And the last thing we need is him to be here right now.
I thought they were just worried about him pulling out jean jacket too early because they're that like, he is on an, like a motorbike.
Also possibly part of it. But that's all interpret movies differently.
Yeah, we all interpret movies. I thought they were worried for his safety.
Yeah, I thought they were because he also, his equipment was electric as well. Yeah, so he wouldn't have been able to capture it. Anyway, so they must have known that, but still been like, yeah, it was just, I'm like, it's just weird.
There's layers. Layers
just the fact layers. That it was dressed so strangely made you think, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean.
And that's the genius of Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I'm sounding so stupid talking about this movie. But anyway, we move on. So.
We don't want to argue with you, man.
He gets onto the field. He gets there, the TMZ guy. And he's like, oh, you don't want to talk to me? Whatever. And he speeds off. And OJ's like, or one of them's like, you know what happens when an electric motorbike cuts out because of the, you know, the electric field moving in the other direction? And then as that happens, he just gets flung. The bike stops dead and he keeps going. He is devoured by Jean Jacket while begging OJ to film the event.
See?
Yeah.
See? Reporter.
Oh, yeah. He was absolutely... That was a very nice moment in the movie. Just this guy being like, don't help me, why aren't you filming this?
Yeah.
But then eventually it's not just like, film me. It's like, no, why aren't you filming this? Like, why are you not, this makes no sense as to why you're not filming. It's a nice little bit of the movie.
Though Holst captures footage of Jean Jacket, his obsession with the impossible shot results in him sacrificing himself along with his camera. Basically he goes, the light's about to get even better. And he, for some reason, walks out knowing that and looks up at it knowing that it's going to get him.
He knows it
He knows he's getting the impossible shot that no one's ever going to see. Is that beautiful?
He's seeing it because you watch his, quote-unquote, footage as he gets eaten.
Mm.
So he's still hand-cranking the camera he's getting eaten.
Oh, that was good. Oh, that was very good. he got the impossible shot. that forces the remaining three to flee. Angel survives an attack from Jean Jacket by being wrapped in a tarp and barbed wire, causing the creature to unfurl from its saucer shape to a jellyfish-like form. Sort of looks like a jellyfish or almost like a butterfly or something. Yeah, it's a strange but beautiful sort of shape. OJ lures Jean Jacket away from M while she uses the motorcycle to rush to Jupiter's claim. There and like this is did she was this talked about as a plan at all? It's just like a moment of genius she had. She gets over to Jupiter's claim, untethers the park's large helium balloon mascot because we hear that it doesn't like eating non-organic matter.
That's why it spits it out.
At one point earlier, M steals like a fake horse, a horse statue.
Yeah, from Jupiter's claim.
And the and then Jupe comes over. And goes, oh, where'd you get that from? They're like, I don't know. Where'd you get yours from? He's like, I don't know, to be honest. Someone else did it. There was a lot of funny moments as well. But, I think that was when OJ realized that it couldn't digest inorganic matter. Mm. So M then used this knowledge to untether the park's large helium balloon mascot. And then Jean Jacket attempts to feed on the balloon while M uses an attraction's analog camera to photograph Jean Jacket before the balloon explodes, seemingly killing the creature. Now this, she just knowing that thing was even a camera, I'm like, what the fuck is this thing?
They do that earlier in the film.
Yeah, they established that earlier in the film.
Fantastic.
she goes to the theme park, she goes to Jupiter's Claim, and she sees all these kids looking in a well, and she looks in, and then the camera goes off, and then they notice she's there, and they get annoyed because she's ruined their photo together.
When was that?
Goes over to sell Lucky, and she's like, why? She's like, you're selling Lucky? And he's like, no, it's okay, I'll buy him back,
I need to rewatch this film.
I think you need to rewatch this
film. I wasn't there with anyone, I wasn't being distracted in a discussion. I was just blanking out on chunks of the film. Oh, that's
this movie. Okay, something I really love in film is when throughout the movie someone lists a bunch of skills that they have, and then later in the film they do all of their skills.
Yes.
Like Slumdog Millionaire did the reverse of that, so that was like satisfying to watch. But like my favorite film ever is Planet Terror. And, like, the whole thing, she is just talking about all these useless skills she has. And then throughout the film, all of her useless skills come in handy. And it's the same thing, like, right at the start where Em's lists every single thing she does. like right. from like sewing and catering and motorcycle riding and everything, and then she gets to do all of it.
That is fun.
And she breaks up the sewing machine. I'm like, oh yeah. I love when people tick off a list they made earlier in the film.
Yeah, when she was sewing together the colorful stuff for the earlier he OJ had a like a parachute that he put off the back.
Oh yeah,
no, I think that, is that what she was sewing?
I think she sewed the head thing for Lucky so that Lucky couldn't look him in the eye.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, she
yeah
she
the parachute.
Sewed,
I assumed it was the parachute.
Yeah, the parachute. Yeah, because that does happen in the last scene. Yeah. It's a really big parachute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah.
It was great. And yeah, OJ had these fake eyes on the back of his hood to sort of drag Jean Jacket out.
They looked like a big bug, just like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
It's all fucking connected.
Whoa. So I was wondering what that was, because I'm like, why did you put eyes on your shirt? I guess like, just to attract, not to...
To keep it, like, looking at you because it hates being looked at, so it would, like, follow you if you were running away from it.
Yeah.
And that's when it, he had that up just before he pulled the parachute and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw this days ago. Don't expect me to remember everything, especially when I'm fully blanking on large chunks. So, yeah, the last line is, with the picture as proof of the creature's existence... and reporters arriving nearby, M sees an unharmed OJ and Lucky standing outside Jupiter's claim. That's so funny that they showed that that was a camera before. I'm like, like obviously, like looking back, I'm like,
so mad at this film. I'm like, what's she doing?
Yeah, obviously, like Jordan Peele's not going to just have this the weirdest camera you've ever seen. I mean, it was enough of a coincidence that this small field of focus that this camera has straight up. The alien comes out just in front of that. Like the balloon man floats just in the right spot so that it attracts it. But, you know, loved it. And you filling in some of those gaps, which were some of my only problems with it. It's so funny that they were problems because I, my own fault. But, I really enjoyed it. What did you think? Did you...
Well, this is great because you're a Get Out boy. You're an us gal.
I'm an us gal.
I'm a nope gal.
Ah.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite one.
Cast nope.
Yeah, I really liked it. I had so much fun.
Oh, that's cool.
It did my favorite things. I got given a list by a girl and then she did the list of things in the movie.
Yeah.
That's for whatever reason, I love that very much.
And you might
really
love
all
this
cast
film.
Needs for a movie.
Schindler's List. Right. Another classic list film. I can't remember what happens in it. I've blanked out on most of it, but I assume Schindler goes about...
Because he's ticking off the list.
Ticking off his list of things that he can do. So what we normally score these films by a banana score. Firstly, how big is... When you go to the shop, Zoe, how big of a bunch of bananas do you buy?
For myself or for the fam?
Whenever you go shopping.
I would say like a big bunch. We're a banana family.
Yep.
We go through bananas. Probably we'll do a big, like maybe eight...
Eight bunch,
and we'll do that twice a week.
So your perfect score for a film is eight bananas, and they're perfectly ripe.
Perfectly ripe.
So what do you give this film?
I definitely give this one maybe a 6.5 bananas.
Wow, that's a high banana
score. It's a high
score.
I really liked it. I thought it was a really fun film. I loved that it loved cinema, but not in a dickish way.
Right.
I think there are the films that you can watch... I'm not fucking naming names, Christopher Nolan, where you can see their movies.
I mean, I don't know. You just literally named a name.
What? No.
So you said I'm not naming names.
And then I didn't.
You named a name.
I didn't. I think play the tape back.
Christopher Nolan's cute. He just loves movies and time so much, and someone gave him too much money. And all he does is make movies about time.
No, he makes movies about how good a director he is, and it sucks.
Yeah, but he's like, I love time and movies.
No, the prestige about literally killing yourself to make the perfect fucking display, the three-act structure, but the bear.
How ripe are your bananas, Zoe?
Oh, no, I'm thinking about Christopher Nolan. green for him. No, they're ripe.
Right.
But I like a banana one day before it's good.
Oh, yeah.
I like a bit of crunch to a banana.
Yeah, not crunch is too far for me, but I like them with firm. A bit of firmness.
Yeah.
Rather than, what about you, Cass? What kind of score are you thinking here?
I really liked the movie. So if I'm doing a Zoe's Bunch.
No, you do your own bunch. How many do you buy?
I don't eat bananas.
Okay. Well, maybe go for Zoe's Bunch.
I'm going to be part of Zoe's family for the week and join in on their bunch. Zoe, jeez, you don't have to buy any more bananas for me.
Yeah. Talk about privilege. I don't even buy bananas. They just always arrive in the bowl, I assume.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, my mum who color coordinates the fruit bowls because she's weird like that.
They're really pretty yellow. Yeah, I do appreciate a banana.
They're gorgeous. Yeah. With little spots of brown.
Cute. Beautiful. Yeah, it's probably a 7.
7 out of 8. Love that.
And I want to watch it again. I feel like there were parts that I was... I think
too excited for.
Let's watch it again, Cass.
Let's watch
it
again
now.
I didn't quite get the eyes because when they were saying it's if you look at them in the eyes, but then the squiggly doodahs had eyes and it didn't attack the things with squiggly doodah eyes. So I was like, oh, it must know if you're looking at it.
Because it knows the difference between organic and inorganic.
Yeah, but then... he's following the thing with the eyes on the back of the head and then he eats the helium balloon at the end.
And he also thinks he tries to come down for some of the floaty men.
Yeah, so maybe it's just when the floaty men go straight down, the eyes go straight up. Mm. I didn't quite get the lore around the eyes. Yeah. So
I think that was it. It was them when they were flat and they were looking straight up.
Maybe
they were on the field flat a lot. But I guess then when he came... Yeah, when he came, then they do go flat.
Yeah, so when he comes, they go flat.
Have you picked a hole?
I don't want to pick a hole. I like this movie. I think I'm going to...
She's got one rotten banana. Mushy, make some banana bread.
There's a lot on the line.
Well, that's good. I get to make banana bread.
Delicious. Which is how you will eat a banana.
7 good bananas for Zoe's family. And one... I do like banana bread. Okay, one mushy one for me. I'm still happy. Yep. I'm up from this.
So 7 out of 8, how ripe are they?
The ones for Zoe's family are perfectly ripe.
Yep.
They're a bit crunchy for Zoe.
I like them.
But then my one's mushy, but I do get to make banana bread out of it.
Okay.
So it's still a good banana. I think I just need to watch it again. It must be if the eyes are directly up, because she had to really make that thing eat the thing.
Because
I thought it could tell the difference between organic and inorganic matter. Yeah, I loved that scene it started shitting on the house.
It ate the plastic horse. Yeah.
It did eat the plastic horse because it thought okay, so it must just be direction of eye.
Direction of eye, because it things that look like they might be organic, it seems to...
Yeah, okay, must be direction of eye. When the thing flops, fine, yep.
All right, well, that's great. So we all really liked it. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 7.
Pretty good.
A slightly smaller bunch, which is I think I need to watch it again because I need to watch it from the start. I fucked it up.
Yeah.
And then blanking out mid-movie a few times. I don't know. I feel like I need to talk to the doctor about that. But anyway, our suggestors, some of them also gave some questions. If you want to quick, do you have time to quickly
get
some
of these?
This first one comes from Nathan Bauer in the UK. He asks, what primate do you think you could take in a scrap?
What's the smallest primate?
Yeah. Is there a stompable prime?
A pygmy, one of those little pygmy monkeys?
Yeah.
We could smush one of those.
I don't feel like there is, because I don't think I'd feel good about it.
No, but you have to. Otherwise, you have to.
It's life or death. Yeah. It's life or death. We're traversing the situation.
Okay. Huh? Andy from Toy Story.
Okay.
Yeah. Squash him like a bug. I picture that universe, they're all just little toy size.
Yeah.
And Andy are is even boy smaller size. Toys.
Oh, okay.
The humans are toy size. The toys are small toy size. Okay.
Polly Pockets.
Dummy.
What do you reckon you could scrap a
small boy?
A small, yeah. A cartoon one, especially.
He's made of CGI. I reckon that's squishing your hands.
So the next one comes from, I'm going to say, Kerry John Jones from Swansea. If you had to have the hand of one primate, not human, for the rest of your life, what one will you choose?
As my hand or for fun?
I think...
Yeah, do we get to hold it? Is it a monkey paw situation?
Yeah, is it monkey paw?
Yeah, it's an interesting...
I don't know enough about monkey apes to know what their hands look like.
Okay.
I think, look, the chimps I've seen, do they have the power to rip off a face? Yeah, and that's great. I don't know if they've got the dexterity
that's right.
I'd be looking for. So maybe like spider monkey hands... Oh, but I'd only be able to tinker for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'd be doomed to a life of tinker.
You've still got one of your normal hands.
Oh, I've only got one.
It's only one. He said if you have to have the hand. Oh, no. Yeah, the hand of one primate.
All right. I want you to know I Googled
Okay.
Best ape hand.
Okay.
I googled Monkey Hand apparently is a brand, so that didn't help. But Best Ape Hand came up with a list that said, "Look at some great ape hands."
Okay.
Not time for orangutan. Not time for gorilla.
Oh, orangutan. A bonobo
hand looks gross.
Orangutan would match.
It's
the
only
best.
Four pictures. It's not very exciting. That's not a very good article at all.
I reckon you spider monkey on one side.
Yeah, one of the little ones.
Then I've got tinkering to do.
I'm going to take like one. I'll take like an orangutan, big strong hand.
Yeah.
On one side, so I could really, you know, open jars or whatever.
You would be so good in the tree.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can swing.
But only from one side.
Yeah.
You could swing.
You have to kind of jump.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of jumping for you.
I normally say if you ask a question, feel free to answer it as well.
Yeah.
Kerry John Jones did not do that. But Drew Forsberg from Highland Heights in Ohio asks, monkeys versus apes?
Monkeys.
Apes. Okay. What are you saying, Matt? Pick
what are you
side.
Saying? Yeah.
You got to pick?
Yes.
Yeah. NASA's listening.
It's a tough one. I'm going to say apes as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no. We knew you're an ape boy.
Oh, look, I love them both, but... In the end, I'm an ape. We're apes. We're great apes. And I went...
I'm pretty good.
I went with us. You're a pretty good ape.
Yeah.
I picked apes because they're scarier and I could take a monkey.
You could take a monkey.
So I got to side with... I'm weak. I got to side with the... I'm weak.
Aaron from Homestead in Florida writes, what's your fondest primate-related story? Now, Aaron does answer this question. Do you have an answer?
I don't think I have any primate related story. I've been where monkeys are and they're sort of running around and you're like, ooh, that's a little guy.
Mm. I have one that's horrible.
No. That's fondest.
I also have a horrible one.
No, I don't.
But it's,
don't want
it's
any
fond
more
for me.
Oh, fond for you? Yeah, go.
Remember when we saw that video?
See.
Aaron answers saying, mine is paddleboarding with my cousin down the Silver Springs River in Ocala, Florida, where hundreds or thousands, no one knows the actual population size, wild rhesus monkeys reside, and watching them go nuts while trying and failing to leap from a tree across the river without falling in. It was hilarious, cool, and utterly terrifying. That's a fond memory.
That's so nice and not at all horrible.
And the last one comes from Alastair Stevens from the UK saying, if you can live amongst a utopian society of ape, monkeys and man, what kind of ape monkey would make the best prime minister? Oh, beautiful question. I feel like I've been...
What's that one with the big face?
That's the orangutan.
No, not that one.
The really big one.
The big face, the Christopher Walken monkey.
Oh, well, that's like an ancient orangutan.
Oh, damn it. I hate orangutans, but...
Yeah, but they grow bigger faces.
Yeah, the big wide...
Males, they grow big...
Wide boy face.
Yeah.
He looks smart.
Yeah, I was also going to say orangutan, and I think that was based on the Planet of the Apes rebooted series where Maurice is like the wise teacher and he's an orangutan.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, you've got Caesar, the chimp, who's a great leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that'd be a great tag team combo. Yeah.
Vice and Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put, you know, that story of the group of, I don't know if it's bonobos or gorillas. It's like a group of apes where... One generation of the men died out because the male primates, I forgot which kind they are, the males would eat first. So they ate all this poison and died. So the entire like male population died out and within like one or two generations or something, they became peaceful.
Wow.
Accurate.
They were raised by all the women. And so the male primates didn't grow up violent. And they just didn't have violent outbursts in the community anymore. It just took a generation.
One generation. And is this related to the primates?
I'd have one of those
question?
Ladies.
Okay. One of those ladies.
One of those chimp ladies.
Yeah. She seems like she knows what's going on.
We're not here to hear your feminist manifesto, Cass. The question is, ape or monkey prime minister?
Yeah, and I'm saying, I'm with her.
You really said... Really stepping on my toes. I'm normally the feminist of this podcast.
Sorry,
okay?
I forgot the rules.
The rules are you don't talk about that stuff, okay? Leave that to me, okay? Let
don't
me
worry,
lean
you're
in.
Pretty hit sorry. Little head.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you think I'm pretty?
So, this point of the show, we often read out a review if there's any 5-star reviews. None have come in this week, so you know
what?
I'm furious. But if you do send in a 5-star review, I will read it out on the show. You can do that on your podcast app, probably.
Yeah,
I have no idea how to do it.
Where can I'm asking you to do it, so... Yeah.
I should also say I've got a brand new podcast coming out this week, probably when this episode comes out. It's called Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. The very second ever episode is with Zoe and Cass.
It is.
We're about to record it. It'll be
don't
out.
Ruin the magic.
It'll be about the
same.
I think it'll be coming out the same week. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you enjoyed this episode, go over and check that out. Subscribe to that new show and help us get it off the ground.
Lift it up.
Into the trees with the apes.
Yes.
The tree apes, orangutans and whatnot. Obviously, there's
sorry,
also
not
ground
I don't
apes
like, them.
Like Zoe.
Sorry.
A pretty good ape, but we're talking about them great apes up in the trees. So where can people find you apart from on the new show, Who Knew It with Matt Stewart?
Well, apart from on the new show, Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, you can find Zoe and I on the Sans Pants Radio Network. We are on the show called Shut Up a Second.
Yes. And cast more than me, but yeah.
Yep, we've also got a new show coming out
good
called Being Hot Is Hard.
Being Hot Is So Hard.
It's difficult.
It comes out on September 27th, the first episode. So if that has passed, it's already out. If it hasn't, please subscribe so that it gets numbers.
Yeah. Someone I with a no, like, is it Nina or
Nina.
Something?
Nina.
Nina
Yama.
Oh, sick.
So jump on it.
Three of us being the hottest little gals, you know?
And hard.
Hot, we're hard, and we're ready to host a podcast.
If the episode's not out yet, just follow Hot Hard Pod. We somehow managed to get that one.
Yeah, no one
on
had,
all the
no
socials.
One, no,
no
one
one's
had...
taken Hot Hard Pod.
That's what? Crazy.
Yeah, that's it. That was
weird.
The most shocking thing about starting a podcast.
I would have thought Hot Hard Pod would have been taken.
Yeah,
would have put money on it. Would have lost money.
Yeah, you would have lost money. We don't need to lose money now.
No,
we've
got it.
Hot
we got
Hard
it.
Pod.
So check that out, please. Please, for the
please.
Love of God.
Oh, my God, check it out.
People can find Primates at Primates Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, perhaps. And, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and you support this show and the other ones in the network, including Do Go On, which is a real fun history-based comedy podcast where we learn from something in the past. Cass, you've been on a few episodes of that.
Oh, love it.
You can tell people it's good.
I can and I will. It's wonderful.
Ooh,
it's a pleasure
so
to
good.
Be there. It's a pleasure to go on, do style.
And the most recent one was about a wild car race.
Oh, my God.
From New York City to Paris, France.
It is so fun to do that podcast. It's just great to learn. I'll have to bring some facts to you one time.
Oh, you got to do it. Yeah, a few people have messaged saying, get Cassidy a report.
Oh,
we
no.
need that general energy.
I got to learn something first, but I'll do it.
That brings us to the end of the episode. Now, we always sign off with our classic primate-related catchphrase. You riff it in the moment. I don't know if one of you wants to do it. Maybe Cass, you want to do it this week?
Okay.
I'll say thank you so much, Zoe and Cass, for joining us. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast...
Ooh, ooh!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.